Welcome back to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Today's show, Eddie Van Halen, forever. Get ready to rock out with your talk out. It's the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Alright everybody, welcome back to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. It is with heavy hearts that we all learned of the passing of Eddie Van Halen today. On this week's Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, we're going to pay homage to that guitar god and most influential guitarist of the last 50 years as we talk about Eddie's greatest moments. And special guest, Wes Longdon of Zodiac White. So, Wes, welcome, buddy.
Thanks for having me on, Lou.
No problem, man. It's great to hear you. We got Lily V6
Yo.
In the house.
What's up?
Hey, it's good to see you. How are you feeling?
Every day good.
Every day is good, except for today. Well, today's okay.
Today's
we're going to
okay.
make, somehow we're going to pull through. And we also have our special studio guest. Come up to the microphone, please.
Well, hello there, everyone.
We've got Kevin here with us as well.
Yes.
Some of you guys may recognize Kevin. Kevin was my original podcast co-host many years ago when we got started. So it's good to have Kevin and I went to high school together, and we were both huge Van Halen. Back in 1950. And we grew up listening to Van Halen. The release of a new Van Halen album or finding out that he played on a Michael Jackson song or whatever was just like, it was everything. It was the biggest news ever. So tonight is going to be dedicated to Eddie Van Halen. But before we get into all that, I want to give a shout out to our sponsor. That is Wolf's Customs. Go to wolfscustoms.online. You know, Eddie did not play a boring guitar, right? He played a guitar that had an awesome custom finish on it. And you guys, that mean, I'm not saying that that's what made him great, right? We're not saying that. But
no.
It was a cool thing, right?
You know, it was cool to see.
What kind of guitar is that? That's crazy. So by having a guitar with a cool finish on, or a bass with a cool finish, custom finish, something unique, you know, I mean, whatever it is that you play, whether you play the Swinette or the, what, the Triangle, right?
I like the Triangle.
If you play the Triangle, having a custom finish on it is the kind of thing that will really make you stand out, and the guy that can help you do that is Chris Thunderwolf Dotson at wolfscustoms.online. Go check him out. Tell him that Ludini sent you. Also, shout out to our good friends at Rock Rage Radio, rockrageradio.com. You can hear great guitar driven rock 24/7. Wes, make sure that you contact them, man, and get them your project so they will play it for you, buddy. Okay?
Awesome.
All right. And we also have, where is the man himself? We have the Hawkmeister here. Where you at, Hawk?
He's in waiting.
Ad Hawk. Where you at, Hawk? You coming in, buddy? What are you doing? Keith Hawkins is connecting to audio. So, Keith, we're going to have you connect in here, buddy. Oh, goodness gracious. Where were you when you heard that Eddie Van Halen passed away, Lily?
I was at work.
Were you? How yes. did you find out?
I went on Facebook and saw Rock Rage Radio posted it, and then I'm like, no, it's not real. And I went and searched all the things to make sure it wasn't a hoax, and then I texted you.
Wow. I got texts from people who are very reliable. Lily, and then my friend Gary Matassa, who's a great drummer. Almost as good of a drummer as Keith the Hawk Hawkins. But Keith is here as well. From what I understand,
Gary's way better than me, man.
from what I understand, Wolfie broke the news on Instagram. That's from what I understand is what happened, and that's how the whole thing got rolling. And then TMZ, of course, who picks up every bit of salacious gossip, you know, threw it out there, and then every other news outlet. So, how did you hear about Eddie Van Halen, Keith?
It was an actual, somebody posted it on TMZ, and I don't even really get TMZ. There was a link on Facebook or something, and then, what's her name? Beth, the one that watches the show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Beth.
She put something out there on a messenger or something.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, she messaged us, like, right after.
And it was from TMZ, so I was like, this shit might be fake, because you know how TMZ rolls. And I looked at
I checked all
and then
the
on
things.
Every other damn website or every other, you know, news outlet, it was like, Eddie Van Halen, dead at 65. Eddie Van Halen loses his battle with cancer. I was like, well, it must be true, you know. But you know, out there fake news, but I guess it's not.
No, that was one time we kind of wish it might have been fake news.
I wish it was fake news, you know.
I mean, that's, you know, then anyway, so we have Wes Longdon on from Zodiac White. Keith, Wes, Keith.
Hey, Keith.
Hey, man, what's up? How you doing, bro?
All right, you?
Good, man.
Got a full house today.
Wes?
We're a little somber tonight, maybe. I feel like Ragman in Trick or Treat when he found out that Sammy Kerr died. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Totally.
Anybody, I have to watch it. I haven't seen it.
If anybody gets that one, then it is Halloween time coming up.
It is Halloween time. And we are going to do, we will do a Halloween show again this year where we'll play spooky music for you guys and tell ghost stories or something.
Ooh.
There's got to be rock ghost stories, right?
I know Vince Neil probably has one.
There has to be. So we'll have to.
There was a celebrity ghost stories.
Yeah. So there has to be like spooky shit that happened on tour and stuff.
I hate to say, but there's a show that I'm starting to like. I've watched two episodes of, and it's priceless because we'll lose him one day, and hopefully not too soon. But there's a show I think on. It's either on Discovery or the Learning Channel where Jack Osborne shows videos of ghosts and paranormal activity to Sharon and Ozzy, and Ozzy basically falls asleep for like 2 hours.
Yeah, I've seen.
Then he just goes. He goes, "What the f is that, man?" And he just does all his thing, but he just like kind of sits there and stares at him and makes faces and basically falls asleep. And he's like catatonic the entire time, but it's still funny because it's like they're showing him all these things because Jack's into that nowadays, and Sharon just rambles on and acts. Ozzy just sits there and just, he don't know what's going on.
Well, Ozzy wouldn't care anyway.
He's a living ghost story, you know, that guy.
He's a living ghost story. So, let's go ahead. Why don't we go around the room for take a minute and talk about, I don't want to say, what does Eddie Van Halen mean to me? I don't want to say that. But, like, why don't we talk about, like, maybe the first time you became aware of Van Halen and, like, kind of like your sort of first impressions of it. So we'll go ahead. Let's start with Keith.
Well, for me, I mean, I'm a drummer, but I mean, there's some guys are just so like their style and their sound, and I mean, as I got older, I started to get into like bass players with what bass player has really cool tone, and then Eddie Van Halen was always the type of person that, as a guitar player, you know, stuck out to me like this guy's doing something a little different. I mean, going from the first record all the way into, you know, even the Gary Cherone days, you're going, you know, and the last, I mean, even the stuff they did the last round with Dave Lee Roth, it's still an innovative guitar player. And as people, as they age, sometimes people lose a step or two, especially vocalists. Eddie always seemed to sound sharp. He always seemed to sound good. And never really, I mean, he might have been hammered at times, but, you know, he always kept it together and always sounded, you know, like Eddie. That's one thing about him. I mean, as soon as he hits a couple notes, you know exactly who that is.
Yeah, it's very, very distinctive. Lily, what about you?
I was very young when I discovered Van Halen. Obviously, they'd been around for a while before I was born. But my cousin, Josie, who always played that type of music, played Van Halen for me. And then I'm always into the guitar players, you know, so obviously I was immediately drawn. But the first time I ever saw him play live, which was probably in like 2004-ish, I lost my shit, like, right there. And then I got to see him a second time, which was great. But it was always fun to watch him play because he did it so easy. And it was just so cool to watch.
Yeah, very effortless.
Yeah, he made it look like anybody could do this, which obviously isn't true.
my first Van Halen, I'm going to get into that in a minute. Wes is a guitar player. So what was your sort of, like, introduction to Van Halen? What kind of, like, caught you about Eddie?
Well, I'd say probably around sixth grade, whenever the transition was going from cassettes to CDs and everybody was, oh, I'm burning a CD. Would you like one? Would you like one? Would you like one? I'd had a friend that had given me a random compilation, and I was like, you know, I enjoy real rhythmic stuff, some heavy guitar stuff, and they put Hot for Teacher on. And as soon as I heard that drum beat, I was like, all right, what is this? And then, you know, through seeing through videos, and I have a lot of friends that are gigantic Van Halen friends that have also pushed me in and kept me there and a very good amount of, you know, exposure. Right. I enjoy them.
Yeah. My first exposure to Van Halen, I was just getting into music and I would tape the radio. This is how old I am. And I would have the pause and the play and the record set So when I heard something I thought sounded cool, I just pressed the pause button and it would capture it. And I heard this sound. Blomp, blomp. I'm like, oh my God, what the hell is that? And I'm like, I gotta record
this. What just happened?
So I recorded it. I was like, oh my God, I never heard anything like that. It was Running with the Devil. And everything about the lyrics, everything just blew my mind. And that guitar just exploded my brain. I had no idea. I just started playing guitar. And I was like, what in the ever-loving F is this? I couldn't comprehend it. And then a little bit later on, so I had that on tape and I listened to it all the time. And a little bit later on, I heard Eruption.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow. Because what a lot of people don't realize is, you know, there was the 60s guys. You know, there was the Jeff Becks, the Eric Claptons, the Jimi Hendrixes, the Pete Townsends, the Peter Greens and all that. Were hard, all really like blues guys, you know. And then the guys in the 70s, the Jimmy Pages, the Peter Framptons, the Rick Derringers, the Ted Nugents, all those guys, Frank Marino and all those guys, were carrying on that kind of blues rock kind of tradition. And Van Halen, it's not that they weren't influenced by the blues, but they just he had a totally different take on electric guitar. It was like the second coming of Hendrix or something. I can't explain it. And so there's all this, like, there's guitar. It's like there's guitar before Hendrix and guitar after Hendrix. There's a guitar before Van Halen and there's guitar after Van Halen. And if you play, you know, it's, you know, it was just completely unique and it blew my freaking mind. And nothing. And I also, even though I was a young musician, I could tell, like, you know, Bad Company and Journey and all these other bands, they didn't sound like this. Like, this was different. Like, anytime Van, I started to pick up pretty quickly that this is different, man. This is not like what everybody else is doing. And it just completely fried me. We have an in studio guest, Kevin.
What?
Come up to the microphone.
There he is.
Kneel beside you.
And Kevin, I know Kevin and I went to high school together, and I remember we were both huge Van Halen fans. Yes, so, yes. What was your sort of first exposure to Van Halen? What did you think?
You know, Wes had mentioned "Hot for Teacher," and I think it was that video in which I learned how to play guitar—not technique, not style, but rather attitude. And when Eddie's walking down the library tables, and he's got that impish grin on his face. You know, just that attitude. And I looked at him and I'm like, yeah, playing guitar, learning to play, it can be hard, but look at that. He's making it look so effortless. It gave me such inspiration. And there's times now I just catch myself with that same impish grin.
Yes, so that's feel it.
That's the one thing, the first thing that really sticks out for me with Eddie.
If you look at interviews as he's aged and stuff, he still has that like little boy look to him. He does have.
He's the grinning guitarist.
Yeah, he just has this like kind of like, you know, like you know, kid that just dunked the girl's hairs in inkwell at school, kind of like look, you know, cat, you know, that just ate the canary kind of look on his face. So let's go through. And Lily, do you have a little biography or background or something? Yeah, Lily's our resident rock historian, so go ahead.
So Eddie Van Halen was actually born in 1955, Dutch-American, so he was not born in the States. When he came here, he actually did not speak English at all.
They knew two words. You know what they were?
No, I don't know the two words.
They knew yes and accident.
Nice.
He said they learned accident because it was the first word in the dictionary. The first word in the dictionary that their mother gave them to teach them English.
And it's funny that you said he sort of has his own take on guitar, because when he started out, he played piano, right, and his teachers would say he had his own take on the classical music that he was playing. Oh, and he thought he was playing it how it sounded, but he had his sort of own little spin on it. He was the main songwriter and lead guitarist of Van Halen, obviously, co-founded in 72 with his brother, Alex Van Halen, plus the other guys that we're not going to talk about right now. Who cares? Revealed in an interview that he had never been able to read music, so that's kind of cool. Instead, he learned from watching and listening. During recitals of Bach and Mozart, he would improvise, and he actually won first place at the annual piano competition long time ago in Long Beach City College. And like I said, he had an interesting interpretation of the classical pieces. Alex actually was the one who started playing guitar first, while Eddie was playing drums, and then they sort of switched because that's, you know, kids, they switch, of course. And after he heard the Safari's drum solo and song Wipeout, that's when he decided he wanted to switch with his brother. He would often practice around home, never putting the guitar down, locking himself in his room, very dedicated to what he did. And he had his first band with his brother called Broken Combs. And Eric Clapton was one of his main influences, as was Jimmy Page. He thought he was more like Jimmy Page, sort of like in a reckless abandon kind of way.
Okay.
Do we want to talk about the rest of it? I mean, I have a whole stuff.
Well, the story goes that Eddie... or that Eddie had the drum set. They fought over who was going to play drums because they had heard a Glad All Over by the Dave Clark Five. And he said the second they heard that snare drum, they were like, we got to play rock. Screw this classical BS. We got to play rock and roll.
But it's good to know the classical.
And so they fought over who was going to get the drum set. And apparently Eddie was on his paper route, and Alex, that's when Alex took over the drums.
Nicky.
Little brothers.
Hey, that's a good bond, though. I used to play with my brother. He'd play drums and I'd play guitar and stuff. It's a weird connection you can have with a sibling like that.
Sisters might not work that way. I think me and my sister would never get along in a band.
Oh, I remember playing, like, my brother first started playing guitar. I remember, like, being, you know, just about 4.5, 5 years younger or older than him and been playing for a while. At that point, and we would just pick up, you know, he'd be playing, like, you know, I Heard It Through the Grapevine or Smoke on the Water or some shit. And we would just play, and I would sit there patiently waiting for him to learn another riff, and then it wouldn't, you know, it was that kind of thing. Like, okay, let's learn. Can we learn something else besides I Heard It Through the Grapevine for next week? Nothing wrong with that song. It's just when you play it for 3 weeks straight, it's...
Did you ever play a Van Halen song in a cover band?
I was in a band with the Jim and Tim Gallagher. We called Area 51. We played a Mousetrap a lot.
You played in Area 51? I didn't know you were in that band.
Oh, yeah. I was in that band for a couple years. But we did, like, I think half the set list was Van Halen, because Jim was a huge Van Halen fan. He's probably crushed right now. I probably should reach out to him.
Yeah, we want to make sure all you Eddie Van Halen fans out there are okay. You know, don't hesitate to leave some comments. We're going to check comments here in a little bit and make sure that everybody...
We do have a lot already.
Yeah, I'm actually jumping over to my, like, Lombardi regular Facebook page as well. We're going to broadcast it on there. I think I spelled Van Halen wrong in the description.
You're so fired.
I wrote Van Halen.
Sorry.
When I hit start the stream, I just noticed it was wrong. So I apologize. Don't get on my ass.
You're in so much trouble.
Eddie Van Halen died, and so did Eddie Van Halen. They both died.
That sucks.
It's like a weird thing. They died simultaneously. We are not making fun out of it. We love Eddie Van Halen. Hi, Billy Altman. Billy, you can stay up a little bit tonight because it is a special occasion.
It's special tonight, so it's
special.
Okay.
So, what would you? I have a list of some of, like, I don't know, like Eddie special or like not special, but like classic Eddie Van Halen moments. If we can sort of go around the room and discuss them, but I mean, the one I think that I sort of already mentioned that is this is kind of like. This is like, you know, this is like somebody coming in, like, no matter whatever your thing is, you know, what I don't know what everybody here does for a profession. Well, Keith is a professional musician. I'm a podcaster. You know, we all have our thing. It's like somebody coming into your job and all of a sudden doing it like 100,000 times better. And you go like, oh, crap. How am I going to do that now?
And yeah, that was
And I think the thing
fake it till you make it.
The thing that did that was Eruption. I mean, when Eruption happened, people were like, "No, man, I mean, we gotta learn to play like that now."
You can't talk.
I mean, that was just like that was just insane, and it wasn't even supposed. We talked about this when we did our show on Van Halen 1. It wasn't even supposed to. It was just a thing he was noodling around, and Templeman was like, "No, wait a minute, play that again. We're gonna record it," and he put it on the record, and. And the great thing about that solo is a lot of people have done something. It was a 70s thing, right, Keith? You would go hear a band, right, and everybody played a solo, you know. But well, the cool thing about that was very rarely did it get put onto a studio album. Almost never. And second of all, the personality, like Eddie's personality comes through in that solo. His sense of humor, you know, his passion for music, like everything he's kind of like, you know, whole thing, his anger, everything kind of comes through in that solo. It's like, if you wanted to kind of know him, you could listen to that solo. I mean, what do you guys think?
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
I mean, one of the most deterring pieces of guitar, that him noodling at that with such ease.
Yeah.
And I would spend forever trying to do it. It's he was in a complete league of his own.
I can only imagine how I tried to learn to play guitar once. If I tried to learn this, the guitar would be broken and I would be broken up with by whatever boyfriend tried to teach me to play guitar.
The whole lot of picking them up and throwing them down and saying you're never going to pick it up again until about an hour later.
That's how that would go.
All right. Well, let me try that again. Yeah. Wes is a guitar player. He understands, man. It calls you back. You threaten. You're like, no, wait a minute. It's like, oh, come on. You can try again. And then you can't play it. And the guitar's like, ha, 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 ha.
You
know?
You can do it all smashed, and you can't even do it sober. Oh, come on, man.
Yeah.
You lose.
Although, Kevin, you told me, though, that you saw them live with Eddie being kind of wasted, and it was not pretty. Did you tell me that?
No, that wasn't me.
That wasn't you? I heard that, like, somebody told me that they had seen them live, and Eddie was very drunk, and...
I've heard stories about this stuff. I've seen them with Sammy. I never got to see him with Dave, but when I've seen him at that Monsters of Rock, and that's years ago, at friggin' Three River Stadium, they were the headliner. They brought the house down. I mean, Eddie was on his game. And granted, that's in the friggin' late 80s. But at the same time, Eddie Van Halen is the type of person that I've, like, you could see recording after recording, and in the studio, hopefully you get it right eventually. And there's just, he's the type of player that just never seemed to. Like I said, I've never seen him live 500 times. I mean, maybe he had an off night. Who doesn't? But at the same time, it's like, he's a guy that I've never heard being, like, embarrassing himself out there playing, you know? But I'm just guessing, you know? To me, that's what he sounds like. Someone that never really lost his edge, you know?
Yeah, I think it might have been on Eddie Trunk's show that callers had called in and said that... that they had seen some shows where Eddie was obviously struggling with alcohol. We have some comments. Apparently, Van Halen's original bass player, Mike Stone, actually died a couple of weeks ago. I did not know that, Vince. Thanks for your contribution. And yes, Eddie did love Eric Clapton a lot. Although he sounds nothing like Eric Clapton. That was always a head scratcher to me. You know, when he said Eric Clapton was influenced, I'm like, you sound
maybe that just what got him to pick up the guitar.
Yeah, got him interested.
Yeah.
But he said he could. A lot of people said that he could play every Eric Clapton thing. He could do it, like, really easily. I don't know. I'm sure he could. I'm sure he could play whatever.
I mean,
yeah. I mean, that goes without saying. I mean, I think that there's people that don't sound like other people that are influences, but they don't really. You know, they can do the shit, but they're not, like, you know, verbatim taking it. He's not going to stare and slow hand all night. It's just not Eddie's thing, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Sid Calk says he's still in shock. Yes, we are all still in shock. I mean, you know, we lost a couple other folks this year, too. Right, Keith?
Yeah, 2020 sucks balls, man.
Yeah.
It's Neil the
year started out with Neil Peart.
Bill Weathers, too.
Oh, I'm
That's, I mean, we lost some legendary musicians of all, I mean, songwriters and great drummers, and, you know, obviously today a great guitar player. 2020 just needs to be over, because I'm done with this shit already.
Literally can't wait for my birthday for 2020, because it is December 31st, so can't wait. Not because it's my birthday, can't wait to get this year over with.
Once we get past that, we'll be on the next thing.
That's the problem. We need your birthday to happen.
Yeah, maybe. And it's not going to happen anywhere good, obviously.
Peter Green died this year as well, and so did Justin Townes Earl, who is Steve Earle's son. Young man.
Right, yeah, I forgot about him.
Very sad. What did you say, Wes? Did you say somebody else, buddy?
Bill Weathers.
Bill Weathers.
The Weathers.
Little Richard.
Did Little Richard go this year? Kevin says Little
Richard.
Yeah,
he did too. It's hard to keep up with him. I mean, we've lost some legendary musicians this year.
But that freaking Keith Richards
is going to live on.
What is going on?
And zero Kardashians, too. That's what gets me every
right,
single
thank
time.
You.
Every How many time. Millions of people around the globe have gotten coronavirus, and that they still run free? It's amazing to me.
Run free!
Like wildebeest.
Who's gonna survive the nuclear war? The Kardashians and the freaking cockroaches.
That's because of all the makeup and plastic surgery they've had. That's why.
I got to tell you guys, we have a little bit of business to take care of, and because we've had a guitar here to give away, and we've been running some promotions on Facebook, and we do have a winner. So I'm going to announce the winner here in a couple of minutes.
It's me. I'm selling it.
It is Keith the Hawk Hawkins won the guitar.
It was fixed.
Yes.
I stuffed the ballot box while you weren't looking.
Aye.
But the winner, here, let me get it out.
You have to show it off for everybody. Model it now. Pretty.
So,
it's a beautiful color.
Sassy. I mean, maybe he'll send it to Chris Thunderwolf to have some custom stuff done on it. I would encourage him to do that. But this is in association with our relationship with Guitar Gallery in Canonsburg, Pennsylvania. Those guys are great guys. Wes, you know the guys at Guitar Gallery.
They are awesome.
Absolutely.
The best, super nice best guys. People to deal with.
Yeah, great dudes. Small local place as opposed to like a guitar center or one of these like corporate places. Very knowledgeable. Vic Dupre has published, a round of books about the Gibson Les Paul. He's a Les Paul collector.
He's in a lot of books, actually. Yeah, not just guitar books. A lot of rock books.
This is the kind of guy. This guy has Brad Whitford and Joe Perry's like personal cell phone number. That's the kind of thing he's got going on. But this is an Epiphone, and it's very cool. It even says Les Paul on the headstock. You can see that there. Very cool. Check this out. It's a, for those of you who are just listening on the podcast, this is a, what would you call it? Seafoam? Would you call it seafoam green?
It looks like 57 Chevy blue to me.
57 Chevy blue?
Yeah.
It's a very cool guitar. What I would do with this guitar, if it was my, it's got the cool wraparound bridge. If it was my guitar, I would tune it to maybe open G and use it for slide. This is would be a badass slide guitar. But Luke, I'm going to, Balcom is the winner from Winchester, Ohio. So Luke, congratulations.
Congrats, Luke.
And we will be in touch with you to get the exact address to send it out to you and everything like that.
Very cool.
But what you have to do is you got to take a photo and you got to put it up on social media and say, thank you, Lou Dini, Rock and Roll Circus Guitar Gallery. We love you. And
like that.
Just you got to say just like that. Oh no, Mr. Bill!
I knew that was coming. I felt that coming.
So you want to do just like that. But anyways, guys, congratulations to Luke. You are the man. So when you get the guitar, you got to work out some Van Halen riffs and send them to us.
Heck yeah! Congrats, Luke.
Oh crap, everybody. So
very, very good, Luke. Very good. You're the man.
Very nice. Very nice. So Billy Altman says hi again.
Hi, Billy.
Just
Billy,
hi,
once
Billy.
Again, hello, Billy. Jiminy Christmases. How many times we got to tell you? How's it going, Billy?
We love Billy. Go to stay up, Billy. Beth says Guitar Gallery rocks. Yes, it does. Kevin, sir. Again, Kevin and I were talking before the podcast, and there's an interesting story about how Eddie became involved with the Michael Jackson thing.
Yes.
So go ahead and kind of tell us about this, because you tell it really well.
So Michael wanted Eddie to play the lead on his single, so he contacted Quincy Jones. Quincy Jones called Eddie Van Halen. Eddie picks up the phone. And says, Eddie, hi, this is Quincy Jones. Eddie's like hell it is, and he hangs up. Quincy calls back. No, Eddie, really, this is Quincy Jones. He's like, stop messing around. I got things to do. Eddie hangs up. Quincy calls back a third time. Seriously, Eddie, this is Quincy Jones. Finally, Eddie gets it. He's like, oh, you know, so. So Eddie goes to the studio with his Frankenstein. And they're like, they play the music. Eddie plays the lead and finishes out. They're like, Eddie, that's fantastic. He goes, no, I can do it better. They're like, no, that's good. That's good. Eddie's like, no, really. I want to do it again. They're like, no, you're done. So what you hear on the album is one take. His first take, and that's it. But that's such a cool story. Eddie thought there was somebody pranking him on the phone, and it really was Quincy Jones, man. Cool.
That's freaking classic. I mean, there's a lot of people that have the same issue with, like, Miles Davis. Miles Davis would call people, and he had that kind of really raspy voice. He would call people at, like, 3, 4 in the morning at times to want him to be on sessions. And they would be like, yes, hello. Hey, MF-er, this is Miles Davis. I want you to be on my album. And they would hang up on him because they were like, it's a crank call. 3 in the morning. And meanwhile, it was really Miles Davis. He just kept weird hours. And jazz guys, man. What are you going to do?
Speaking of Beat It, this is a kind of rarity, but there is a video.
I did watch this today.
And you can find it on YouTube. The quality is not good, but it did air on regular television with Eddie joining, of all people, the Jackson 5 on stage for a rendition of Beat It. And the Jacksons, of course, consummate kick-ass band, total professionals. This was the victory tour. I believe this was also the record that where they did a duet with Mick Jagger. I think State of Shock is on this record as well. But Eddie joined Michael and his brothers on stage to play the Beat It solo. The serendipitous moment brought on by the lucky fact that Van Halen happened to have a show scheduled in Texas at the same time was one of the only times that they ever performed together live. And somebody caught it on video. I apologize. I do not know the Jackson brother that plays lead guitar, but he also plays a solo on Beat It. Kevin and I were watching it before, and I'm like, man, I don't know if Eddie Van Halen was on the stage playing a solo. I don't know if I would have the balls to play a solo too.
Give you some whiskey, you'd do it, or bourbon, you'd do it.
I don't know, man.
That is something, man. That's I don't remember that. Is there? I don't know. There's Tito, Michael, Randy. I don't know. I can't go through the whole thing.
It's one of them. And the kid plays a great solo too. He's really good. He puts the guitar behind his back and he taps and everything. It's like pretty freaking impressive.
That's the thing that always got me about Eddie Van Halen. As soon as he started putting both hands on the neck of the guitar, I was like, I've never seen that before. I don't know how old I was when I seen those videos like blowing up on MTV the whole freaking time. But he's always, hey, there's two things going on. He's doing it, he's playing, they show him, he's smiling, and then he's just like doing it effortlessly, and then he's doing his two hands on the neck, playing the freaking tapping, and I'm like, I don't even know what that is, but it sounds cool.
What's your favorite Van Halen video, Keith? I mean, they were a huge MTV band, huge.
As far as over-the-top videos go, I mean, it has to be Hot for Teacher. It's just so, like, because it's at that time you're at the internet age bracket when that came out, and it's like, you know, you're probably having those thoughts yourself about whoever, but that's a great video. Later on, believe it or not, I really, one of my favorite Van Halen songs, I think is an underrated song, and he sounds tremendous on, is Finish What You Started. I love that song. It's great. He has a very country, it's no distortion, very like nice picking going on. He even puts a cowboy hat on during the little, if you want to call it a solo, in the video. And the video has chicks all through it, and Sammy Hagar is cool as shit. And, you know, it's just it's one of Eddie Van Halen's moments where I think it was he just captured a nice overall sound, and he was going for something a little bit different. And the one part that gets me is when he's like, there's a little breakdown where he starts to like play faster and you think he's going to go into a solo, then he goes right back into the head riff again, which is awesome. It's a tease. That's one of my favorite Van Halen songs. Very underrated song. I mean, but he sounds tremendous on that song with almost like a country flair to it, you know?
Yeah, it's you're right. That's a good one, man. I forgot about that tune. What about you, Wes? You got a favorite Van Halen video?
I'm going to have to agree with Keith with Hot for Teacher. It's absolutely iconic. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a great video. I mean, Panama is a cool video. I mean, Dave Lee Roth was bigger than life. But somebody said before, I think on I was watching a couple little, you know, memoriam videos on Eddie. They have a bunch of them on YouTube. And it's like, no matter what, just who the singer was, as big as life as those guys were, that band always came back around again and charted, regardless of who the singer was, sometimes at number in the top 10 all the time because people came back to Eddie. They wanted to hear Eddie play guitar. He's captivating to people, and he always was. I mean, yes, the lead singer gets a lot of credit in a lot of bands, and that band, he was definitely the co-headliner with anybody, maybe the star of the show, if you ask me.
Yeah, I mean, and somebody mentioned here, maybe you, Lily, mentioned, it's so effortless what he could, like, it just, it didn't even look, he's so, it was like he wasn't breaking a freaking sweat. It was disgusting. Lily, do you have something you want to, like, an Eddie Van Halen moment you want to talk about?
Or this is one that came later, but I thought it was pretty cool. I used to watch Two and a Half Men all the time, and he actually makes a cameo in 2009 on the show. It's like the season seven premiere. And he plays the main riff from As Is. So that was pretty cool to see him there. Didn't know that he was going to be on the show. Just sort of watched and there he was. So I thought that was cool. Also, the other thing I wanted to mention was he's just so diverse. And he could play like literally anything. He did two songs off of an LL Cool J album. Not Leaving You Tonight and We're the Greatest. So I have to say that's pretty damn cool when you're going from rock to Beat It to LL Cool J, who is R&B. So pretty cool to me.
This is a total, like, and I think Kevin would agree with me on this. This is a total thing, like, nothing to do with music. But he married Valerie Bertinelli, who was one of the hottest, like, television stars from the eight.
She's definitely the girl next door.
Tall, just so. Like, cute little Italian girl. Come on. Like, every guy's dream. You know what I mean? Like, you wanted Valerie Bertinelli to move in across the street from you so you could go out on a date with her. And Eddie Van Halen won her heart. And they had a really cool kid out of experience. Wolfie. All Wolfie. That's from Amadeus. Here's something that maybe you guys forgot about, and I had forgotten about. Who remembers the movie Better Off Dead with John Cusack?
I haven't seen it since it came out.
There's a hilarious claymation.
Yeah, there's a scene in there, yeah, with if you play Everybody Wants Some.
Yeah, Everybody Wants Some, and this hamburger gets up and dances, yeah. And it is crazy. Oh, yeah.
But the hamburger has the guitar, the red and white guitar, yeah.
Yeah, that's some funny shit. And what's great about it is there's a lick that gets played with the whammy bar, and the claymation hamburger actually grabs the whammy bar.
Oh, nice.
I'm like, whoa, awesome. Whoever like animated that had to be like a Van Halen fan. You could tell, like, they knew what guitar definitely was.
On a separate subject, and John Cusack was in that movie, and he was only 65 then, so that's pretty good. If you've ever seen that guy, he's a freaking vampire. He looks the same now as he did 25, 30
years like
ago.
Him and John Stamos both.
Yeah, whenever the Declaration of Independence was signed, Cusack was there. He was giving the thumbs up to John Adams, like, that's it.
Legit.
Well, speaking of TV appearances and movies and things like that, they did a song for the, remember the movie Twister? Not that great.
Not a fan of the movie, but yes, I know what you're talking about.
Humans Being is in a great, this tornado's coming, they're all in the vehicles chasing, and Humans Being, with Sammy Hagar singing, and it starts out with a Van Halen solo. With Eddie solo, and it's just like great. It makes the scene. It's like the best thing in the movie. We've got
by far.
Yeah, I mean, like, by the rest of the movies, it's not a good movie.
The movie's like a yarn.
Yeah,
honestly,
it's not that great. I mean, Helen Hunt, meh. She's very meh.
Bill Paxton, also rest.
Bill Paxton's great when he's a supporting actor.
Okay, maybe that's it.
He's like Owen Wilson. You know who's in that movie? Though is Philip Seymour Hoffman's in that movie.
Yeah, that's true.
And so is, what's his name? Cary Elwes is his name?
Ooh, that guy.
Yeah.
He's in it. He plays it like a dick. And Jamie Gertz is in it.
I love Jamie Gertz.
But she's
really
plays a really stupid character.
Yeah, I know. I forgot. I totally forgot.
Okay, all right. Kevin wants to say something.
Come on, Kevin.
We're talking about movies. Did you guys forget that he wrote the soundtrack for the movie The Wildlife with Eric Stoltz?
What is that name?
Right?
What?
Yes.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's good, Kevin.
There you go.
Ding, ding, ding. Look, give Kevin
that
free guitar.
I haven't seen that movie in forever. Good stuff, though. Good stuff.
I actually had a peculiar Van Halen moment at work today. It was peculiar.
You had
somebody
what?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. What did you say? I didn't hear what you said, bud.
Oh, I had a weird Van Halen moment at work today, way before any of this happened. I was talking to somebody, and they brought up the movie Pretty Woman, and I couldn't remember. I was like, did Van Halen's version of that song go in that movie or the original?
It was the original.
And then, like, 2 hours later, I hear this. It's just a weird... awful.
Yeah, that's kind of messed up, man. I mean, that's definitely one of those moments where like, what the hell just happened here? That's I could see that being an odd moment there.
Well, because you know, they did do some interesting covers. We did a show about cover albums.
Yeah, they always like to throw a cover or two on their albums. Yeah,
and
for sure.
Pretty Woman, Dancing in the Streets. Do you know that they did You're No Good, the Linda Ronstadt song?
They did, yes.
I remember the first time I heard that. I'm like,
they're like Metallica in that capacity. Whatever, regardless of what you know, a lot of people have, you know, issues with Metallica. If you're a total metalhead, you don't like anything after the Black Album, whatever. It's just the fact where Metallica was always a good cover band. Van Halen is the same kind of ilk where they when they do something, they're such a good band that they will do the covers from justice. It's not like they're embarrassing themselves, you know?
Right.
So
that's cool. That's a good way to put it. So if you had to, okay, I won't make you, we don't have enough time for everybody to make like their own greatest hits. But say you had to make a little Van Halen EP. What songs would you say are maybe your 3 to 5 essential? Okay, let's put it this way. Let me rephrase it this way. Aliens come to Earth and they go, what is this Van Halen thing? We don't understand it. And you can play them maybe 3 to 5 songs. What songs would you pick that go, this is their most awesome stuff?
Gotta throw Ain't Talking About Love.
Okay, Wes, good. Ain't Talking About Love?
Gotta be near that. I think it's in my head. It's like Panama. I can never get it out when I hear it.
So Ain't Talking About Love, Panama, what else?
Unchained.
It's not your turn. Well,
that's not your turn. Not your turn. It's Wes' turn. Everybody gets a turn. You got another one? Got Panama, Ain't Talking About Love.
Well, whatever the rest of the list would have to be, Eruption would have to be a hidden track just on the technicality.
Okay, I like that. Eruption's the hidden track. It plays after it's all done. So what? So you got to come on. Give me a third one. Come on, give me three.
For sure, Jump.
Jump.
Because
okay.
Of how screwed up the song is and how happy it is. It's like that pumped up kick song. Super happy.
Comparison. I love it. Good one. What do you got, Keith?
I want to go with a little bit of Hot for Teacher. I mean, that's definitely something I think would even melt the alien face off when they come down. You hit that. Speaking of that, I mean, he threw that in the Back to the Future. What did Marty McFly play in George's ear? Eddie Van Halen. Ah. You remember that little part? But I'll definitely go with Hot for Teacher. A little bit mellow, I would go with, you know, Finish What You Started, which I said I just love that riff. Somebody Give Me a Doctor is a badass tune, man, that I think
somebody
is just
give me a complete, shot.
A complete rocker. Unchained's another one that's just a face melter. I think I'm the One is probably my favorite Van Halen song.
I know
ever.
You love that.
I love that song. That whole first album is ridiculously awesome. It's a masterpiece, I think. I mean, so those are mine. I mean, and then if you want to go with like a little bit later, I mean, who the hell else? I mean, maybe people. I think Paul Gilbert did it. People, you know, throw a drill and some picks on a drill and do Pound Cake. You know, that's always an interesting little sound.
Okay.
That a lot of great songs with both singers, and you know, it's just, I mean, even Gary Cherone fits in there somewhere.
I want you guys to know that I had Van Halen on the original topic for tonight was sick breakdown riffs, and I had I lost it. Summer Nights. I had Summer. I'm sorry, brain fart. I've been drinking a bit tonight. I had Summer Nights by Van Halen on there. There's a sick breakdown in that song. But that's a good one. So what do you got, Lily?
Run with the Devil, Panama, Jamie's Crying, because I love that song and I don't care what anybody says.
That's an amazing song.
Hot for Teacher, and I have to do Eruption somewhere on there, maybe an intro just for fun.
Kevin, come over to the microphone.
Oh, now you get to talk.
Thanks, guys. Well, of course, I screamed out Unchained. Definitely like Hot for Teacher, because it inspired me. And I'm going to go with an obscure one here, The Full Bug off of Diver Down. Yes, there you go.
Very good.
I would have to go with, I like Wes's idea of the hidden track Eruption. I like that. So that would be in there somewhere. That'd be a little surprise somewhere. I would definitely have Running with the Devil on there. I would have Black and Blue on there. I would have what's that?
Best of Both Worlds.
Best of Both Worlds. I would have that on there. I would have the one that they won the MTV Music Award for, with the piano, that was written for Joe Cocker. Right now.
Yeah.
And then as a bonus track to show how diverse they were and their sense of humor, I would throw on Big Bad Bill Is Sweet William Now.
And there it is.
I love that. It's one of my absolute favorite things Van Halen ever did. We're going to sort of like take a little bit of a left turn for a minute here. Wes is a musician. Had several different projects, but you've got a new project now. And Wes, I want you to kind of tell everybody about what it is that you're doing and like when it's going to be released and how they can get a hold of it if they're interested.
Well, the album, it's going to come out October 31st on literally every platform you can find music on.
Halloween. Nice.
It's a good day.
Yeah. Had to pick it. And I try to do like a little hodgepodge of everything. Each album might have like an industrial song, a metal song, soft acoustic, just trying to mix it up. This one that's coming out, though, is very Beatles Revolver album with that psychedelic stuff and like the Fragile Nine Inch Nails album. That's trying to find. And then whatever else comes into mind.
I'll have to play you on my show.
And what is it called and everything? And how do people find you on the internet?
Oh, yeah. Zodiac White. I'm on Instagram, Zodiac White Official. YouTube channel is the same thing. And the music, like I said, you can Google it, put it in almost any streaming service, and it'll pop up. Before this comes out, if anybody wants to check it out, Glib is a really good album I did. And, yeah.
Awesome.
Cool.
Well, yeah, Wes, we do appreciate you being here. We have a few more comments. Robert Orozco loves Jump. Fran Crasher says the best VH videos are the three tunes from the Oakland Fair Warning Tour. Kevin, you know that?
No.
Billy Altman says, "Why Can't This Be Love?" That's a cool song.
That's a good one.
They don't have a bad one. Come on, guys.
I mean, for real.
Billy Altman, everything he types twice tonight.
Maybe it's
he's like he's like the guy off Goodfellas, Jimmy Two Times.
Oh my God!
I'm gonna go get the papers. Hey Billy, I'm gonna go talk to Billy. What do you say, Billy?
Oh man, that's
Billy,
good.
Go to bed.
Billy Two Times. Everybody calls you Billy Two Times.
Now I'm gonna go home and watch that movie.
It's Billy Two Times
again
Billy
for
two
the hundredth time.
I think it's Sally Ball's brother. To be honest with you, I don't know.
How do you say that?
I said Selectman.
Vince Selectman says, "Push comes to shove, so this is love. Hear about it later." He also says, "Fair warning, has some great solos." Brady Novotny, great to see you, Brady. Brady had a birthday recently. Cathedral. That's a good one. Little Guitars. What about that?
Little Guitars. That's a great one.
You know, it's... come on, man. It's Van Halen.
Kind of hard to pick a bad one.
It's hard to... Yeah. So, about a month ago on Rick Beato's channel, he did a video on capturing how they got Alex Van Halen's drum sound on I'll Wait, which is a song, by the way, a lot of people don't know. I'll Wait was written with Michael McDonald from the Doobie Brothers.
Yep.
Nice.
But so Keith, I've asked you this before, but I want you to kind of talk a little bit about Alex Van, because Eddie is great. We love Eddie. Rest in peace. But the other half of the family there is Alex. And you want to talk maybe a little wee bit about Alex's drumming?
Yeah, I think if you're talking about just the overall technique, I mean, he's responsible for one of the greatest drum intros of all time. I mean, that's, you know, that's
coming
rock,
back to Hot for Teacher.
Oh, yeah. As a rock drummer, as soon as you hear that, you're sucked in, man. Whether... It's, even as a non-drummer, you should probably be like, what the F is that? And what's going on there? I mean, then he kicks into a great, you know, double bass shuffle and does this thing. I think he's a very solid rock and roll drummer. I think he would go down in the, you know, as a legendary rock and roll drummer. I think that he has a distinct sound. I think he used a lot in early recordings. He used a lot of tape. So, I mean, there was a lot of deadening up the drums, which is, you know, par for the course in that day. I think he sounds like himself on a lot of the early recordings. And as he grew as a player, I think that he started to, like, another reason I like the song Finish What You Started is the fact where he's not playing a straight groove like he always does. A lot of songs, he's just pretty, he's very pocket. He's kind of messing around with the beat a little bit, displacing the snare a lot of places, having some, like, almost like a funkiness to it. I think he captures the song. He's a great song drummer. I've seen him do solos, and he had a lot of drums. A lot of, I mean, I think the time I seen him, he had four friggin' bass drums. So, I mean, it's just his thing, you know. It's Alex is definitely going to be good out in history as one of those guys that just, it's just that when you look up rock and roll drummers, he's there on the, I'm not saying he's on the Mount Rushmore, but he's there with some of the top cats, you know.
Okay. One of the things I think about Van Halen that was so important was they understood, especially on the 1984 era, they understood music video. They knew how to make a great music video. And, you know, Hot for Teacher's come up many times.
It's a good
and,
video.
And the video is great. But do you guys realize this is a song that starts out with a drum solo?
Yeah.
And then it doesn't go into the song. It goes into a guitar solo.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very non, you know, like,
it was a big hit.
Song formula. I mean, it's not verse chorus. Yeah. It's like, here, I'm gonna musically friggin' drum your ass off. Then I'm gonna go into an awesome, which is going into the two handed tapping. We're gonna go into some awesome eddiness, and then we'll go into the song after we kick a little ass for, like, you know, probably up to over a minute at least. Yeah. With that, just a couple minutes. You know what I mean? Yeah. You're looking at a few minutes of just ass kicking. And then you're going to break it down into a nice little picking part. And then you can, you know, Dave comes in and does his Dave thing. So that's,
and,
you know.
And even that is not really like a regular song. He's almost, it's not rap, but he's kind of like, sort of like telling a story
just
about
talking.
Being
in school. Yeah, yeah, just talking and, you know.
And then the real hook is when, like the chorus. Mm-hmm. And everybody loved that, you know. And it is kind of, if you think about it though, it is a little rapey. Because it's about students wanting to have sex or with teachers, and teachers, you know, maybe possibly reciprocating. Teacher needs a sex.
Oh, that's never happened.
Back in those days, it was so much different, because nowadays you have a completely opposite effect. So it's, you know, it is what it is.
I mean, that song might be considered like really politically incorrect in today's climate.
Yeah, no doubt. Might not get released. Somebody would be offended.
So. Let me ask you guys: will there be any more Guitar Heroes?
I would hope so.
Somewhere, yeah.
You
I mean,
so?
I
you
don't
think
that's
Guitar Heroes.
Yeah, that shit never stops. It'll come back. I mean, somebody will eventually capture the attention of someone else again, and then it'll spread like a fire. And, you know, it's, you know, I hate to use that term because the country's burning down, but it's a horror. It catches. It'll catch something. It'll catch a buzz. What is that, man?
Did you see my shirt?
What's it say?
It says, you're not woke, you're annoying.
Yeah, oh my God, yes. I love that.
You know what? No, and I say, if you're going to get woke, you're going to go broke.
Yep. I mean, it was an unusual time when people really were interested. But I was talking to somebody the other day, and I sort of feel like there's been a second wave of kind of Guitar Heroes. It's just that the scene is a little different. But, I mean, I think you got to put up there John Mayer, Joe Bonamassa, Derek Trucks. These guys are like, a lot of younger folks really respect those guitar players and really look up to them, and they inspire, like they've inspired the next generation. And who knows what's going to happen after that? It's a different scene now. We don't have MTV like we did. We don't have the major labels, the big tours and stuff like that. So it'll be kind of interesting to see what kind of shakes out in the coming years with music.
Statistically, there should be one great guitar player. As much as like modern music is getting pulled very far away from using guitar as a prominent source, not only will that become essentially an esoteric instrument that's so uncommon that they can kind of do whatever they want. Like, the next one will shine so big because there's not going to be these giant, flashy, awesome guitar solos competing with junk.
Well, there is
there will be one.
Where I think guitar has gone, in my opinion, if I may, I think it's gone to YouTube. And I mean, there's the super shredders, like Tozen Abasi and these guys that are just like sick.
Oh, he's fantastic.
I mean, just like can play like, and you can hear when those guys play. I mean, they're doing all the tap. I mean, you go back to Kevin. Do you remember Stanley Jordan? A black dude. I mean, his whole technique was tapping. And that came out, that's post Van Halen. I mean, you know, definitely in obviously influenced by Van Halen.
Look, guys, I don't think there's a guitar player that played in the 80s that didn't get it wasn't influenced by Van Halen.
Let me tell you,
I mean,
man,
some of it was blatant, but I mean,
some of it's way more subtle. I want to like leave you guys with a couple of thoughts here about Eddie Van Halen. I've gotten arguments about people with this, but listen, man. Eddie Van Halen not only reinvented guitar playing, he reinvented the sound of the guitar. All these guys playing really the heavy metal, the djent guys, the extreme metal guys, the thrash guys, there was no such thing as high gain. And if you're a guitar player, Wes, you know what high gain is. There was no high gain until Eddie Van Halen started torturing those Marshalls with the Variac. And then other amp makers figured out how to do it without blowing up the amps and started building that in. That changed everything. And all the guys you hear now playing, I mean, you go to, I mean, Zach Wild, I mean, Dimebag, all those guys, we would not have had those guys if it wasn't for Eddie. And all the guys playing today, I was telling somebody on Facebook, like I said, like all these metal dudes are the sons and grandsons of Eddie Van Halen, whether they have heard a Van Halen song or not. They're absolutely, if you're playing with speed and that kind of technique, he's the guy that set that standard. He put that boat in motion. He like set it off. You know, and everybody just kind of took it and ran with it. You would not have had Warren Demartini, George Lynch, Carlos Cavazzo.
Vito Bratta.
Who?
Vito Bratta.
I was going to say Vito Bratta. Reb Beach.
Reb,
Paul
yeah.
Gilbert. Like, all these guys are because of Eddie Van Halen, and everybody after them is because of Eddie Van Halen. You know, the way that the whammy bar, the way, you know, the locking tremolo system, the modified Stratocasters, all of that, Eddie got all that going for us. And that's why I consider him the most influential rock guitar player of all time. That's, you know, just a little food for thought. You guys have been listening to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. We had a special guest tonight. Wes, one more time. How do people find you on the internet so they can be there when your record is released?
Zodiac White Official on Instagram. There's Zodiac White on Facebook. Same as YouTube. There's some of the old music, some of the new stuff. It's kind of all over the place. You put Zodiac White into some music search, and 9 times out of 10, you're going to get something.
We'll find you. And it's being released on Halloween of this year, which is really freaking cool. Lily V6?
I have a show Thursdays, Hot Licks with Lily 6, Rock Rage Radio. Go to rockrageradio.com or download the app for free. I am doing an interview, or I did the interview with Bill, I can't talk, Mark Weiss, legendary photographer. Listen to it for next week's show, 6 p.m. Eastern time.
6 p.m. Eastern time. Keith, anything you got going on you want to plug, buddy?
I'm going to go gigging soon.
You are?
I'm going to gig my ass off, man.
Is New Orleans about ready to open or what?
Nah, F New Orleans. I'm going somewhere else.
Are you?
I don't need this bull crap.
I'm done.
Are you
and then I know another 30s kind of throwing these hurricanes at me again. I'm tired. Enough with the hurricanes. You know what I mean? There's another hurricane coming here now. Wipe me off the map. The hawk ain't going out like that. Don't bring your hurricane around me.
When they name it Hurricane Hawk, then run, because then you're done.
That's right, because you know it's coming down to Chinatown.
Hey, I got to give a shout. We talked this whole show about guitars, and I got to give a shout out to my brother, Chris Thunderwolf Dodson. At wolfscustoms.online. You know, guys, don't mess around. Go get a custom job done on your musical instrument. He does all kinds of stuff. It doesn't have to be a guitar. He'll do your ukulele, your banjo,
snare drum,
your snare drum, your bass drum, whatever you got. ChrisThunderWolf.Dotson, to WolfsCustoms.online. And of course, we have to give, as always, a shout out to Rock Rage Radio. Go to RockRageRadio.com. Those are awesome folks out there, and they do support great guitar-driven rock. And if you'd like to find out more about the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, if you'd like to continue to party with us, you'd like some behind-the-scenes stuff, we usually carry on the conversation in our private group, and you can find out more information about that at LouLombardiRocks.com. You know, Luke won this awesome guitar back here. That's because he got involved with Lou Lombardi Rocks. So go to LouLombardiRocks.com, and there's all kind of, we're doing giveaways, we're doing lessons, we got all kind of stuff. So you can check it out there. Shout out to Wes Longden for hanging out with us today.
Zodiac, thanks for having me on.
So great to have you, buddy. And since you live so close, man, we're gonna have to like jam or something. I got
that
a whole studio
awesome.
Here. I got guitars.
He's got
and
a whole thing going on here.
Yeah, so like we're gonna have to get together and hang out, brother. I didn't know.
I'm
you
in.
Hey, Keith. Wes lives in Washington.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he's like practically a neighbor.
That is close.
So, all right, guys, have a great week, and we'll catch you all on the next Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.